91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today, it's information about retirement, especially for those with self-directed plans. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. By some measures, Americans are less set to retire at the standard of living they desire. 10,000 boomers born between 1946 and 64 retire now at about 10,000 per day. Fewer are now covered by pensions, but even those who are might find the going rough. Research says today's retirees should be accumulating even more assets than prior generations, but they aren't. And people are simply living longer now. We'll have experts on hand on today's Topical Currents. First, it's the news. And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman on this Monday edition. Today's discussion centers on individual retirement planning, particularly for those who aren't pensioned but have self-directed plans.
There's much at stake for more and more people find themselves retiring at a standard of living below expectations or conclude they must continue to work to maintain it.
With us now is senior tax partner, attorney, and the author of 5 books. He's Adam Bergman. He's an expert on self-directed retirement. Welcome to you, Adam.
Thanks so much for having me.
Also with us is another author and expert. She's Pamela Yellen, who's written The Bank on Your Self Revolution, Fire Your Banker, Bypass Wall Street, and Take Control of Your Own Financial Future.
And she joins us from Santa Fe, New Mexico, by telephone. Welcome to you, Pamela Yellen.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome to you both. Let's begin with you, Adam Bergman. In lay terms, and I'd like to say to both of you, if you could limit your use of acronyms and try to make this as clear as possible, because it's one of those subjects that I'm a little unclear about. What is a self-directed IRA, and how does it differ from a traditional IRA?
That's a great question, and a question I pretty much get every day. Essentially, a self-directed IRA is the same as an IRA. The only difference is that you're able to do investments that the traditional financial institutions don't particularly let you do. And for example, the tax code only says there's essentially 3 things you cannot do with an IRA. That's found under Internal Revenue Code Section 408 and 4975. And essentially, you cannot buy life insurance, collectibles, like antiques, rugs, stamps, baseball cards. There's a carve-out for IRS-approved precious metals, gold, silver, palladium, American Eagle coins, for example. And the third broadest category is you're not allowed to self-deal. And self-deal means you're not allowed to use your IRA in any way that personally benefits you or your lineal descendants, your parents, your children, your spouse, your daughter-in-law, son-in-law. So essentially, it is the same as an IRA. You can buy stocks with it, mutual funds, ETFs, but it also will allow you, because the code allows you to do, real estate, hard money lending, gold, for example.
But wait a minute. How can it not benefit you if it's making money?
It's a great question. So,
like in real estate.
Yeah.
For example, real estate, whether you buy Apple, Google stock, IBM, your IRA is making the investment, not you personally. So, for example, if you buy Apple stock at $100 a share and it goes up to $300, you are not personally benefiting. Adam Bergman is not one penny richer. My IRA is richer, and the IRS states that if I want to use that money to personally benefit, I need to take the money out and pay a taxable distribution. And there's sometimes what's called an early distribution tax of 10% if I'm under 59 and a half years old. So when you invest with an IRA, whether it's stocks, mutual funds, real estate, your IRA is benefiting, and the tax code allows you to do it so long as it's not those three categories. Once your retirement accounts accumulate and it grows, then hopefully at that point, once you're over 59 and a half, you can take a taxable distribution. Or when you're 70, you're supposed to take required minimum distributions, which the IRS requires you to take a little bit of your retirement account into income each year.
So, Pamela Yellen, let's turn to you. Is the common biggest fear of those who are soon to be senior citizens to outlive their money?
That definitely is the most common fear, and really all the surveys and statistics back it up. I mean, we know that according to the Employer Benefit Research Institute, 54% of all workers report less than $25,000 in household savings and investments altogether. And even among workers over age 55, those really getting near to retirement, 33% have less than $25,000 saved, and only 30% have $250,000 or more saved. Only 30%.
Pamela, and I'll say this to actually both you and Adam, and you can both answer this question. Many of us are totally mystified and bewildered by the world of finance and investments. Yet you, Pamela, call for a bank on yourself revolution and advise that we take control of our own financial futures. And Adam is talking about self-directed IRAs.
I'd be the last one to bank on myself.
So, and so would I. So here are two people, fairly intelligent, that wouldn't want to bank on themselves. So how do we reconcile those things, those specific things that many of us are bewildered by it, yet you're both saying we can take more control?
Well, I'll take a shot at it.
Okay.
It is bewildering. However, it doesn't have to be, and you really can keep it simple. And that's what the Bank on Yourself Revolution is all about. It is about keeping things simple, and it is about relying on yourself rather than an employer or the government or government-sponsored plans such as an IRA or 401k, et cetera. And it really can be simple, actually a lot simpler than most financial strategies and most people think. I mean, Wall Street's complicated, mutual funds are complicated, even 401ks are complicated. And my arrival at this point in my life is that my husband and I had been in doing all the traditional things we'd been taught to do. And that was, you know, we were investing in the market, we were putting aside a huge amount of our savings, putting it into qualified plans, a profit-sharing plan in our company, and a pension plan in our company. And that was since 1987, and we never came anywhere close to getting the kinds of returns that they kept telling us we should be able to get. Mm-hmm. And then we hired experts. We hired three different investment experts, and they were supposed to be some of the best in the country. We did our research. We looked through the entire country for the best, and they were also some of the most expensive. And we hired three over more than a decade, and all three of them ended up losing us money during what turned out to be the longest-running bull market in history. So we finally figured, you know, how some people are we must be just unlucky with investing, and we basically took back control. And at that point, I started researching, and I started looking at different financial strategies, and I ultimately investigated more than 450 strategies looking for something that was simple, easy to implement, basically a no-brainer, because that's what I needed. I needed a no-brainer. I'm not brilliant either, you know, when it comes to all of these complex things. So I needed something simple and reliable.
You're called a financial investigator. What exactly does that mean?
Basically, that's referring to the fact that I have investigated over more than 450 different financial products and strategies since 1990.
And what's most commonly wrong out of those 450?
They're not what they're promised to be, and they don't give you any kind of security or predictability.
You know, Pamela, if the experts are at a loss, I mean, nobody knows how the markets are going to go or how tax rates are going to change depending on, you know, the political winds, not to mention how long we're going to live or unforeseen circumstances we might encounter. So how do we deal with all those variables?
You know, you just hit, I can't believe you hit it on the head when you just said that, Bonnie, and, you know, that is the problem in America today. People are basing their retirement plans and their financial planning on things that they can't predict or control. And I ask people, Can you tell me what your retirement fund is going to be worth on the day you plan to retire?
And?
And they're like, what do you mean? You can't know that. That's not true, number one.
Okay.
Then I'll say, can you tell me what the tax rates are going to be on the day you retire and 30 years after that? The answer is always going to be the same. No, we don't know. But I'll tell you, most people I talk to today, and I'll bet most of your listeners agree with the same thing, which is that they say tax rates are going to go up. And yet most people are deferring tax, paying taxes by saving in a tax-deferred plan like an IRA or a 401k. And then the third question to ask people,
would it be better to pay taxes now than later?
If you think taxes are going up over the long term, then yes, that would make sense.
Adam, do you agree with that?
Not really, to be honest. And just for the record, I'm a lawyer. I'm not a financial advisor. So I'm not here telling people they're going to make a lot of money or not a lot of money.
In fact, that's a good time for our disclaimer. We're only offering general advice and not specific actions you should take.
Right. So I'm telling people what the rules are. And generally, the whole idea of tax deferral, I would argue it's probably one of the last best tax shelters out there. And there's also something called a Roth IRA, which...
I wanted to ask you about that. What is the difference between a Roth and a regular?
So a Roth IRA came into being in 1996, and a Roth. It's basically a switch on the pre-tax IRA. A traditional IRA, you get a tax deduction when you make the contribution. 2016, the limits are $5,500 if you're under 50, $6,500 if you're over 50. And you get a pre-tax deduction. However, when you hit 7 years old, you got to pay tax on that income. Now, just to Pamela's point, most people are earning less money at 70 than they do today. So that's why the idea of tax deferral is very attractive to a lot of people. A Roth IRA is the flip. You don't get a tax deduction up front. It's after-tax contributions into the IRA. But if you keep your IRA open 5 years and you're over 59 and a half, you can pull that money out tax-free.
Your Roth.
So okay. If you think tax rates are going up and you can absorb not getting a tax deduction today, a Roth IRA is a beautiful thing. Now, there are income limitations or thresholds. People generally that make over $194,000 as a family cannot make a Roth IRA, although there are backdoor ways that you can get into it. So I disagree. I think
I want to do the backdoor ways.
And that's a good thing if you're able to make more than $194,000. But I think retirement accounts are extremely important. I think it's the last best tax shelter out there for people to save. What better way to save without paying tax? Obviously, there's 49 million IRAs, $24 trillion out there. It's an important part of our savings as Americans, and it's something the government encourages. The whole idea of self-directed investment is diversification, is a way to take control, unlock some of the rules that the traditional financial institutions put and place on your retirement account, and let you invest in what you know and understand better, whether it's real estate, whether it's hard money lending, equity, stocks, mutual funds. It gives you the ability to do so.
All right. We're going to continue our conversation with Adam Bergman. He's a retirement tax planning expert and author and the senior tax partner at the IRA Financial Group and president of the IRA Financial Trust Company. We're also speaking with Pamela Yellen, financial security expert and author and the founder and president of Bank on Yourself. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Monday's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, visiting with Pamela Yellen, financial security expert and author. And she's written a book called The Bank on Yourself Revolution, Fire Your Banker, Bypass Wall Street, and Take Control of Your Own Financial Future. Also in the studio with us is Adam Bergman, a retirement tax planning expert and author, senior tax partner at the IRA Financial Group, and president of IRA Financial Trust Company. So, Pamela, go ahead.
And if you'd like to join in, that's easy enough, 1-800-743-9576. If you have a question or comment, 1-800-743-WLRN. Also, email might be even quicker. You can email us at radio@WLRN.org.
So, Pamela, you heard what Adam had to say about IRAs and Roth IRAs, and so we just wanted you to comment on that.
Sure. Yeah. You know, you're going to get varied opinions on this, but I can tell you that we're very big on surveying people, and we've done quite a number of surveys. And one of the surveys we did is asking seniors what their what kind of taxes they're paying now compared to what they were when they were working. And well over half are telling us that they are paying the highest tax rates of their lifetime in retirement. So you never know. And again, most people we've surveyed are saying the tax rates are going up. If tax rates indeed do go up and you're successful in growing your nest egg, you're only going to be paying higher taxes on a bigger number if you defer your taxes. So there's two ways of looking at it, and you know, people have to make the decision for themselves what's right, what feels right to them.
How about younger workers? Are they less likely to want to have traditional investing in stock markets and mutual funds?
Not in my experience, most people do tend to take advantage of the course of least resistance, you know, and so if their employer is offering a 401k, they tend to, you know, invest in it, and they tend to want to have the matching contribution and so on. And there has been a movement in the 401ks since the 2006 Pension Protection Act, where they basically said that as long as an employer is putting your money automatically into certain what they call default mutual funds.
Pamela?
Yeah, we're having some...
Yeah.
Right, we're going to have to...
Why don't we have our director will call you back.
Okay.
And we'll get back to you
okay.
on that.
Okay, stay right there.
All right.
Okay, so we need to let Richard know.
Yes, he knows.
Okay. Adam, what are the benefits of these self-directed IRAs over traditional IRAs?
You know, it's not really a benefit. It's really giving people the ability to hopefully invest in what they feel comfortable with, what they know and understand. All the self-directed IRA is saying to the average American, hey, you're not stock buying mutual funds, stocks, ETFs. You can still do them, but...
ETFs are...
Exchange-traded funds. They're kind of like mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey... You can do other stuff. Maybe you have a lot of confidence in real estate. Maybe there's a brother or cousin that needs some money and you can do a hard money loan with your IRA and get an 8-10% secured interest rate tax-free back to your retirement account. Maybe you want to buy gold. Maybe you want to invest in a private equity or a hedge fund or a private business. No one's telling you you're going to make a lot of money or you're not going to make a lot of money. I don't know.
You're just saying this is an option.
Yes, exactly.
So... Let's say we're sitting with IRAs, our financial, at our, you know, financial firm. We have an IRA account and a Roth IRA account. How do we change them over?
It's a great question. So basically, the traditional financial institutions, for example, Bank of America, Vanguard, Fidelity, they will restrict you into buying only traditional equities, mutual funds, ETFs, because that's where they make money. And they have every right to do that. There are a slew of very respectable custodians, trust companies, including IRA Financial Trust Company, that have a different business model. We don't sell investment advice. We simply administer retirement accounts. We earn a small fee, usually a flat fee, for each IRA, and we will help the client make the alternative asset investment, whether it's real estate or private equity.
So they can pull it out of where it is now?
Correct. It's called a tax-free rollover, and it's a direct rollover. It can be done an unlimited amount of times, and it's basically from one bank to another. The money gets transferred from, for example, Fidelity to the IRA, self-directed IRA custodian, i.e. IRA Financial Trust, and then the individual IRA holder directs IRA Financial Trust, for example, to buy Tract A or buy invest in private equity X or buy
okay.
gold or whatever.
All right.
And we have our other expert back on the line, Pamela Yellen. Pamela, you were in the middle of explaining something I don't remember specifically.
Yeah, I was explaining one of the downsides of the 401k system,
right.
which
right.
is that most people are surprised to find out that in 2006, Congress passed law, the Pension Protection Act of 2006. And with a name like that, it sounds like they're protecting someone, and you would think that they were protecting the investors, the participants in the 401k plans. But that's not the case. What they passed the law to protect are the employers. So now your employer is protected against liability as long as the employer automatically moves your money into certain specific, what they call default mutual fund invest type investments. And then it doesn't matter at that point if you lose your shirt. You basically have no you can't go after your employer for losing your money as long as they do that. And it might not surprise people to know that it was the mutual fund industry that lobbied Congress to make sure that law was passed.
Pamela, are you on a speaker?
No, I'm not.
You're not. We don't know what's happening. Let's hope.
Are you still hearing that noise?
Just a little bit.
A little bit. It's echoing, but let's hope it.
Well, let's take a call and we'll see how things work. Ganel, is that correct? In West Palm Beach. Hi.
Hi, Joe. My name is Ganel, and I'm a CPA myself. I just happened to be in the car and listen to the program. I just want to comment on Mrs. Yellen, if I'm not mistaken, her last name.
Yellen.
In terms of the tax rates.
Y-E-L-L-E-N.
Okay, in terms of the tax rates going up in the future, I completely disagree because technically, everyone who can contribute to a 401k, 403b, regular IRA, Roth IRA, if you can do that, just do it. This is one of the best way of saving money because you know what your tax rate is today. You're saving that dollar today, which is bigger and better than the dollar tomorrow. So by all means, at your prime time, you're going to earn more money. So that makes sense to save money now, to save taxes now. And tomorrow morning, I guarantee you, you will not be able to earn more money than you're earning today. So therefore, by default, your taxes will be lower. So therefore, that's a principle that has been driving that investment in those retirement accounts for a long time. So I completely disagree with your approach on that one.
Okay,
Pamela.
Pamela?
Yes.
Go ahead. Do you want to comment?
I'm having a little trouble hearing him. Are you able to summarize the question?
Basically,
there?
He's saying that he thinks the 401k is a very wise thing to invest in.
Deferring the taxes. Mm-hmm.
And because he's going to be making more now than he will later and paying more taxes now than he will later.
Well, actually, if you run the numbers, and we have run the numbers, all things being equal, if tax rates stay the same, if they do not go up, you'll end up with the return is the same. Let's just say you could assume a 6% return, and you could assume that tax rates are not going to go up. The fact of the matter is that you'll end up paying the exact same amount in taxes over time. We've run the numbers. It comes out identical. The difference comes if tax rates go up.
Okay.
But 93% of the people we've surveyed think tax rates are going up. And there's a lot of reasons for that. All you have to do is look around. Social Security is running out of money. There are more people every year, and it's really turning upside down in terms of the number of people taking benefits as opposed to contributing into the system, the Social Security system. So there we go. We have that noise again.
Let's take a... are you still there, Pamela?
Here.
Oops.
Okay.
Whenever you talk, it seems to be oscillating or something.
Yeah.
Let's...
wait, Adam wanted to respond, yeah, okay. I think, to
I
what...
I just want to say one thing. I agree 100% with the caller. Clearly, tax deferral. I'm a tax lawyer. I have a master's in tax law. I don't think you'll find any well-trained tax lawyer is going to tell you tax deferral doesn't make sense or a Roth IRA doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I 100% disagree. In fact, if you just take a simple example, tax rates are important, but if you have less money, who really cares? If, for example, you have $100 today and you pay no tax in your retirement account, you have $100 in your retirement account. If you earn $100 personally and you pay just 20%, you have $80 left. And if you do that for the next 30 years, you're going to have less money in your to save, whether it's in an IRA or not. And if the tax rate's up 8% or down, I don't really care because you're going to, at the end of the day, have less money in your pocket.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And while we do, we're going to try to get Pamela Yellen on a better connection again. Pamela Yellen's a financial security expert and author and the founder and president of Bank on Yourself. Adam Bergman, a retirement tax planning expert and author, senior tax partner at the IRA Financial Group and president of the IRA Financial Trust Company. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Current. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We resume our conversation with attorney Adam Bergman and also financial advisor Pamela Yellen. She's the author of The Bank on Yourself Revolution, Fire Your Banker, Bypass Wall Street, and Take Control of Your Own Financial Future. And Adam Bergman is the senior tax partner at IRA Financial and also the author of five books on the subject. And we'll return now. We have, once again, Pamela's back on the air. Are you hearing me okay, Pamela?
I'm hearing you fine. Hopefully you're hearing me
okay,
fine.
Okay, we've got our fingers crossed.
We do. Okay. I wanted to ask you, Pamela, the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones are probably at all-time highs or have been recently, and housing market, well, that's always, we never know where that's going. But you claim we're in for another fall. Do you mean another Great Recession?
Well, I think that, you know, if you look around and you look at, you know, the underlying economic conditions and you look at the global economic conditions, there are still many fundamental things that are weak in the economy. You know, things are much more globalized now than they ever were in the past, and what happens in other countries and other parts of the world can affect us. You know, historically, I mean, there's no guarantee of anything, but historically, you know, there is definitely, you know, bull markets are usually followed by bear markets. In fact, they're always followed by bear markets. There have been no exceptions to that. So it's really just a question of when and how deep the next crash is going to be. It could happen this year. It could happen in 10 years. We don't know.
So how do you think people should protect themselves?
I think they should have a considerable amount of their household income, and my recommendation is 2 years of household income in safe and liquid savings. And the difference between savings and investments is savings, you're not going to lose money in savings. And the Bank on Yourself Revolution and my website, bankonyourself.com, are all about ways to save that can give you a significantly higher return on your money, but without the risk of stocks and real estate and other investments. Hmm. They are out there.
I know that incomes vary, but if you could, Pamela Yellen, for our various groups that might be listening now, just give a thumbnail of what people in their 30s, then their 40s and 50s, should do before they retire and how they should plan at various points in their lives?
Well, out of the 450 different financial products and strategies that I did research over the last 20-some years, one of my favorites is actually something, it's one of the things you cannot put into a self-directed IRA or any IRA for that matter, and it is a supercharged form of dividend-paying whole life insurance. And the reason I really love this product is, and this financial tool, is that it does give you a much higher growth rate than you could get certainly in today's, you know, savings accounts and CDs and so on. And it also gives you access to capital when you need it. Mm-hmm. And that was something that happened during the recession. You know, people lost their jobs and they couldn't get their job back for sometimes a couple years. And they lost everything that they had because of that, because they could not get their hands on capital. And the nice thing is that there are a few companies out there, a few life insurance companies that offer this product that actually has a feature on it that allows you to use your money in the policy, let's say to cover emergency expenses or medical expenses or, you know, to keep your family afloat if you've lost your job. And the plan continues to grow. It earns you the same guaranteed annual cash value increase and the same dividends as though you had not even taken a dime out of it. So it does give you a lot of flexibility that you don't have when you're in a 401k or IRA, because with IRAs you can't take loans. With 401ks there's limitations as to how much you can take in loans, and then you have to pay it back within a certain period of time, or you pay penalties and taxes. I just think that a lot of these plans have more strings attached to them than a puppet.
Adam, mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of these self-directed IRAs. There are three kinds?
Correct. There's essentially the traditional self-directed IRA, where if you're a client of Fidelity's or Bank of America, every IRA is, in essence, self-directed because you can decide if you're going to buy a mutual fund A, B, or C.
Right.
So the traditional financial institutions will argue that they offer self-directed IRAs, and they actually do. The second is a custodian-controlled self-directed IRA where the custodian, the trust company, will, for example, buy the real estate for the IRA. And then the third type of self-directed IRA, also known as a checkbook control, really is a more popular type of IRA for real estate investors, and it basically just employs the use of a limited liability company wholly owned by an IRA to make the investment.
Explain, so and that's...
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, a little slow. Go a little
slower. So
that.
Basically, checkbook control, self-directed IRA has gotten popular over the last 20 or so years, and it really is simply putting a limited liability company, which is a type of entity that's treated from a tax standpoint as a pass-through entity or a disregarded entity, so it doesn't pay taxes, but it still retains the corporate limited liability protection that you would get at a regular corporation. So it's the best of both worlds. And really all that's happening is the IRA will be the owner of the LLC, and the LLC will buy the asset, the IRA asset, i.e. real estate, making it a little bit easier to make the investment. So in essence, it's become a tool for a lot of real estate investors that have are eager to buy real estate and want to have a little bit more flexibility in making the investment. But if I can just touch on one fact that I actually wanted to share with your listeners, because I think it's important, and it's something I think Pamela could also she's mentioned. I think it's a good point. This is off the National Institute on Retirement Security. In 2013, and it's hard to believe, but nearly 40% of working households with members aged between 25 and 64 have zero retirement saving, not 1 cent.
Yep.
So, you know, whether you're for it or not, I think Pamela and I could both agree saving's important, whether you want to do it through life insurance or a retirement account. I think if one thing your listeners take away from this hour is that save. Do it. It's $1 a day, $5 a day. Start. Put it away. Whether you're buying life insurance, mutual funds, real estate, just save.
Pamela, that was something the other question I just asked you, which you went into the thing about the insurance things. But some in their 30s, just a thumbnail, what should people do in their 30s? What should people do in their 40s? How should they look when they're in their 50s?
Well, this is Adam, and I couldn't agree more with you, Adam, but you know, people need to save sooner rather than later. One of the things that happens when people are in their 30s is that they think, you know, I have all the expenses of creating a household and having children, and they're starting maybe, well, most people in their 30s.
It's a living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah,
it's
right. Living paycheck to paycheck. And they may have debt left over from their own college, you know, putting themselves through college and so on. And one of the things, even though this may seem counterintuitive, you know, but I know that a lot of people say, always pay down your debt before you save. But the problem that happens is that people, the right time never seems to come around. And so they spend all of their time and all of their resources trying to pay down the debt, and they put off saving longer and further into the future and further in the future. And a dollar saved today, whether it's tax-deferred or not tax-deferred, is going to be far more valuable than a dollar saved 10 years from now or 20 years from now. So it should be a mix of paying down debt and, well, you know, also saving for the future, putting money aside.
Right. But as Joe says, I mean, there are so many people right now that do live paycheck to paycheck. I mean, what do they do? Maybe, Adam, you're right. Put $5. You're saying whatever it is.
Well, that's where you get into what I call conscious spending. You know, that is definitely, we are a consumer society, and most people don't realize how manipulated they are by Madison Avenue. All day long, we buy things that we don't really need and we don't even really want, but we're conditioned to do that by all of the buying signals around us. I mean, advertisers spend billions of dollars every single year coming up with ways to get us to buy things that, again, when we really think about it, we don't need or really want. And so there's certain things you can do. You know, I love such a simple thing. Just put off making the purchase for at least a day. And if it's a higher priced item, it should be at least 7 to 30 days that you don't make the decision. Write it down. Say, this is what I really want to buy today. Write it down. And then a week later, or if it's a big enough high enough priced item, 30 days later, ask yourself, do I really still want that like I did a month ago? And you will be shocked at how many times the answer is not really.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join in, 800-743-9576, 800-743-9576, or email, that's radio@WLRN.org. Edwin, North Miami, hey there.
Hello, I'm sorry. I just put you on mute. I couldn't hear the last thing that just said. Hi, I'm Edwin.
Hi.
I just moved back to Miami 5 years ago. It was 7 years ago. I was in graduate school in Texas, and I moved back here to teach, and I started realizing that there was sort of a financial threshold that I wasn't meeting, and so I needed to even diversify my how I was pulling in income. And because I was teaching almost every week,
right.
Maybe I had a month off like over the course of the year, there wasn't a way to do that. So I willingly stepped away from teaching to figure something else out.
Mm-hmm.
And I embraced Uber. I started doing things that allowed me to control my time and give me the flexibility to move forward in academia and see if I could figure something else out, because it seemed like things were changing, but I was on like my own path.
Right.
And
did you have a question, Edwin, for either of our guests? Or?
Yeah. So I've been in this situation where I'm trying to figure out how to start a retirement account from the ground up, and not knowing where the in routes are when I'm using the sharing economy, and I'm kind of experimenting at times, like the tourist season with Uber,
right?
Or in the summertime, I'm doing different projects.
Okay, Adam, did you want to advise Edwin?
Edwin, you're not alone, and I've actually written an article about people like you, freelancers, Uber drivers, independent contractors that need to learn about the solo 401k. A solo 401k is a retirement plan, IRS approved, that was specially designed for you, for someone who's self-employed. You can put away up to $53,000 a year if you're under 50, or $59,000 if you're over 50. You can borrow up to $50,000. You can open it at a local bank, Schwab, an E-Trade, Bank America for free.
It's called a solo 401k.
It's called a solo 401k.
Okay.
And you can open it for free at a local bank if you just want to do equities or mutual funds. And you can put away a lot of the income you earn from your independent contractor income. You can borrow against it. You can do pre-tax or Roth. You can do amazing stuff. And it's easy, cheap to do, and you'll be able to reduce your taxable income.
Okay. Well, I hope that helps, Edwin. We're speaking with Adam Bergman and Pamela Yellen about investing or tax or self-directed IRAs and 401ks. We'll be right back after this short break.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, also Adam Bergman and Pamela Yellen. We're talking about 401ks and IRAs, and most especially self-directed IRA plans. And we'll go to our calls. We've got, I think, a younger member of the audience, Juan in Miami. Hi.
Hi, I'm going to be real brief. I have a 17-year-old daughter. Can she open up an IRA? I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
Yeah, as long as she earns income. So she needs to have some type of earned income, compensation for services, then yes. It cannot be interest, dividends, royalties, rental income. It has to be income where she paid Social Security, FICA.
So a summer job be fine.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have an emailer. Are either you, Adam, or Pamela familiar with Motif Investing? Are you, Pamela?
What's it called?
Motif Investing.
No, I am not.
Okay. Well, sorry, Wilderson. We don't know. Okay.
And next up, it's Kai, K-A-I, Pembroke Pines. Hi there.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me. Just a real quick question. When I tuned in, I did hear you briefly talking about an LLC, and I'm assuming an S-Corp with pass-through for the purpose of owning investment property. And I apologize if this has already been answered, but I am curious to know, because we hold some properties in our own name, and aside from tenant liability, is there any other tax benefit, are you also shielded in terms of foreclosure liability and stuff like that? Not that that's an issue for us, but I'm just curious, is there any other protection that's offered? And then I have one more question that's kind of along that line after that, if you have time.
Who can best take that?
Sure, I'll take it. So yes, an IRA can own an LLC. An IRA cannot own an S corporation, because an S corp has shareholder restriction rules, and only individuals can essentially be shareholders. So if you were looking to use a retirement account to buy real estate, for example, you would want to use an LLC or just have a custodian make the investment. An S-Corp would not be able to be used. And of course, as you mentioned correctly, sir, you can use the entity for limited liability purposes, anything to protect, in this case, the IRA as the owner from creditor attack with respect to the property.
So is the IRA? So the IRA itself is becomes the owner. So if you use the IRA funds to purchase a piece of real estate, do you have to pay taxes as if you had removed those funds from your IRA, as if it's income, or are you shielded from that because you're borrowing money from the IRA, so to speak?
That's a great question. Unfortunately, an IRA can only be funded two ways: one, by contribution; other, by rollover. So if you own an asset personally, for example, you own a piece of property personally, you cannot put that into an IRA, because that would be considered sheltering income, and I think everyone would do that.
Well, what happens if you have a piece of property that's a rental income, that you get a rental income from when you've invested in this real estate? Mm-hmm. Where does the rental income go?
It's a great question. So just to be clear, if your IRA buys the property with IRA funds and it rents it out, the rental income would go back to the trust company, the custodian who helped you buy the property, and it would go back into your IRA without tax. Or if you use the LLC, it would go into the LLC without tax. Just like if you got a dividend from buying Apple stock or IBM stock, it goes back into your IRA without tax. But just to answer your question, sir, if you own the property personally now, you cannot put it into an IRA. It's tainted. You own it personally. You're going to pay tax on any income or gains from the property. If you have 401k or IRA money, we can set you up with a self-directed IRA where you can buy another piece of real estate, and all the income and gains from that property will go back to the IRA or 401k without tax.
Right. Yeah. My question was, because you had already said that you can't buy it with money outside of the IRA, so that it clears it up. Okay. And very quickly, the other
Kai, question. Kai, we have about six other calls, so
okay,
let's try.
Go ahead. I appreciate the answer.
Okay.
Thank
thanks so much.
Bye bye.
And next up, it's John. John in Miami. Hi there.
Yes, sir. I heard Pamela Yellen referring to possibility of recession conditions. I wonder what your panel thinks of gold or gold mining stocks as an investment.
Hmm. Pamela?
Pamela?
Okay. Well, I think that gold makes sense up to a point. But on the other hand, I know people who think that gold is the solution, fair number of people out there who think gold is the solution. And I would urge you, I have an interesting blog post at bankonyourself.com about the history of gold, especially when it comes to truly being a hedge against inflation. And even with the recent increase in the price of gold, you would be shocked at how poorly is kept up with inflation. It is lagging inflation so far. To me, that's scary.
Okay. All right. Well, there's that answer.
And we'll move along to Don in Plantation. We're short on time, Don. Hi.
Yeah, quick question. How do I go about starting savings retirement plans for my minor child, my kid?
Again, if your minor child has earned income, then you can set up an IRA, go to a local bank and open an IRA for your child, and you can put in up to $5,500 a year so long as your child has earned that amount of income.
What if they don't earn any income?
Unfortunately, they can't open an IRA. Spouses can piggyback off each other, but not children.
Thank you very much.
And Lisa wants to know, Roth IRA, when you retire and start to take it out, there are no taxes owed, correct?
That's correct, Lisa. Two things have to happen. You have to be 59 and a half, and the Roth IRA has to be open for 5 years. It's called the qualified Roth IRA distribution, and then you can take all that money out without ever paying tax.
And next up we have Walter. Walter's in Pompano. Go ahead, Walter.
Yes, good morning. I'm 74 years old, and I'm going to be retiring soon. And I've had a brokerage account, you know, with the big names. I don't want to mention them. And I've been reading lately that you're better off, instead of paying the high fees with those kind of brokerage accounts and mutual funds and whatever, you're better off building a portfolio of index funds where the fees are lower. And they're automatically diversified because they invest in a wide range of securities. I wanted to know what your guests think of a portfolio made up of index funds.
Okay, Pamela.
Pamela, briefly.
I'm sorry, I'm not following that.
He was asking about index funds.
As
an investment.
Yeah, what you have to be careful about with index funds is that you would think that a fund that tracks the S&P 500 or any other index would, you know, that all of those funds would be very similar. And they may be, but the fees can be so much higher in some of those index funds than in others that it could take, according to our research, it could take up to 33% of your savings in fees for an index fund, which is crazy because it's not rocket science, you know. It's simply, you know, it's a cut and dried.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time. Pamela Yellen is a financial security expert and author, the founder and president of Bank on Yourself, bankonyourself.com. And she's written The Bank on Yourself Revolution, Fire Your Banker, Bypass Wall Street, Take Control of Your Financial Future. Thank you, Pamela.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And attorney Adam Bergman is a retirement tax planning expert and author, senior tax partner at the IRA Financial Group, LLC, and president of the IRA Financial Trust Company. Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure.
And apologies to those callers we couldn't get to. Topical Currents, lead producer, Richard Ives. Technical direction from online coordinator, Jason Zabka. Polly Landis is associate producer. And perhaps you'd like to hear the whole program again. That's easy. We have free audio archives at our website. That's WLRN.org. Also, check out the Topical Currents new and improved Facebook page for more links and photos. Add a like, if you will. Did you learn anything, Bonnie?
I'm trying to digest it. I'm processing the information.
That's where I am.
I know one thing. We need to save.
Yes. Tomorrow's program hits the streets with an in-depth look at the plight of the homeless in Three Counties area. We'll hear about conditions with three on-the-ground social service experts from Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. That's Monday Topical Currents at 1 o'clock. That's Tuesday. G. Joseph Cooper for Bonnie Berman. Thanks for making public radio your companion today. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.